This is an informational podcast and should not be construed as professional advice. Any opinions expressed do not reflect the opinion of BMO Private Wealth. Please contact your financial representative for advice regarding your personal circumstances and financial position.
Welcome. My name is Todd Coleman. I'm a vice president and market leader with BMO Private Wealth in Edmonton. Today, I'm here with Shauna Albernaz, vice president of BMO Trust Services. And today, we're going to talk about an issue that many of our clients at Private Wealth struggle with, and that's the role of an executor. Shauna, so can you tell us, what is a corporate executor?
Yes, so the executor is the person that you name in your will who's going to administer your estate. And the two options you have are to either name an individual or a group of individuals, or you can name a trust company as either an executor or a co-executor. Trust companies are the only corporate entities that can act as a fiduciary, as that role includes personal liability for mismanagement and it's unlimited liability. Trust companies are legally structured in a way to meet liability requirements that are set by law, and it's the only corporate entity that can be named. The offering of a trust company is solely fiduciary responsibility. So that is all we do, administer estates and trusts or act under an enduring power of attorney. So a corporate executor is truly the only expert executor out there.
So that's an interesting topic. And I think the choice of an executor is something that a lot of people don't really think about appropriately when they're looking at someone in their life to appoint as executor. And I would say most people automatically name their oldest child or maybe a sibling. Why do you think that is?
I think the biggest reason is because people simply don't know what is involved in administering an estate or how long it's going to take and how that liability works. For example, in Alberta, the average estate is 18 to 24 months. And many people are shocked to learn that. They think that it's going to happen in a couple of months, everything will be wound up. So that time commitment is really huge. That alone would make many people unsuitable for the role simply because they have their own careers or families. And it's things like that that people are not aware of when they decide to put someone in that position.
Yeah, that's a pretty significant time commitment, 18 to 24 months. Why do you think it takes so long?
Well, you can expect around 400 hours of work, but there are processes as well that are outside of the executor's control, such as waiting on Canada Revenue Agency to do their part and issue clearance certificates, or for the court to issue a grant of probate, which in Alberta right now takes 10 to 12 weeks just from the time that you apply for that. And there's many of these duties that have to be handled that can only be dealt with during working hours, such as dealing with, you know, the lawyer, the accountant, the realtor. A lot of this has to be happening during the daytime when individuals are trying to do their own job. So they're usually trying to work that in. The difference, of course, with the corporate executor is that they work on estates all day long. So the estate is administered and usually in a much more time efficient manner. And you do note that that's the average timeline. Really, an estate doesn't end until it's complete. But if it has complications, it goes into litigation, it can be much longer. The longest estate I administered took 7 years.
Yeah, that's a really long time, 7 years. And I'm sure in your career, you've seen some estates that have not gone particularly well. So I'm wondering, what would you say are some of the obvious red flags when somebody's considering an executor? What would be some of the obvious red flags that someone isn't a suitable choice?
So the first would be age. It's so common that people are going to name their own friends or family members, their siblings, and it's because they trust them. But it's easy to forget that at the time when you're 85 and you might pass away at that point, those people are going to be around that same age as well. So even if they are there to do it for you, they may not be able to or willing to take on a commitment like that. So having someone in your own generation is not the ideal fit. The other thing is location. Sometimes when people are thinking about who they trust, they don't consider the fact that if their executor is outside of their city, they're going to have to travel there. So that's going to take a time commitment. It's going to incur costs that your estate is going to pay. And they have to have the means to be able to do that. And in Alberta, if that executor is outside of the province, the court will also impose an insurance bond on the estate, which costs money to have that person act. And that's something your estate pays. So ideally, you never want to have an individual who's not local to you right in your own city anyways. The other thing you need to consider, of course, is what's in your estate. I think we all become familiar with our own assets and can very easily not realize that things are complex. But when you have a business or a farm or foreign assets or commercial or rental real estate, these types of assets will have additional work and, of course, additional risk, and there's tax consequences. The corporate executor, of course, has the experience and expertise to be able to deal with these assets in the most tax-efficient manner. and they're competent to address all matters in estate and trust law, legal issues, taxation, accounting, investments, real estate, all of these things that most individuals do not. And if you have assets that are outside of the province, that will also now involve the estate and tax law in those jurisdictions as well. So that adds more work to that too. And for an individual to just assume they'd be able to figure out can be a huge ask. And if you have beneficiaries who are in a foreign jurisdiction, that is going to add additional steps to your estate too. So a corporate executor has the expertise to deal with these issues. And sometimes that is really the only solution that you're going to have to make sure that goes well.
Wow. Yeah, that sounds like there's a lot going on there. It's a pretty complex responsibility. When you were talking about some of those issues, I heard liability in a few different areas. So can you expand on that and what's involved in with the liability of an executor?
Sure. So whenever you act in a fiduciary role, such as being an executor or trustee or an attorney under an enduring power of attorney, your duty is to manage and protect those assets. And if your actions cause loss to that estate because you're deemed negligent in your position, you can be held personally liable to reimburse the estate. And that liability is unlimited. Most people are unaware of this, but even a small mistake in a sizable estate can be damaging to the financial well-being of that individual. I worked with a poor gentleman whose wife had left assets in an investment account to a charity, and he was the executor. And unfortunately, he did not liquidate them. And this was in 2008 when things went very badly. And by the time he was ready to distribute that asset to that charity, there had been significant loss in the value, and he was deemed negligent. He had to reimburse it, and he ended up having to sell his house to pay back that loss. So it's not something to be taken lightly. That liability is very true and very important that people recognize that of what they're asking of someone, and of course to someone agreeing to take on that position.
Yeah, wow, that's really unfortunate, that story. What about acting as a trustee? Now, most of the wills that we see would usually say something like, I appoint so-and-so as my executor and trustee, but are those two roles actually separate, or would they be more similar or separate? How would you describe that?
So they are separate roles. The executor administers the estate, and then if a beneficiary share is going to be held in trust, as opposed to given to them outright, the trustee is now that separate position as the person responsible for administering the trust. So this role will go on for as long as it's dictated in the will. And once you start to act as a trustee, you cannot stop unless the court releases you from that position. So it is a more complex situation once you start, if you decide that you don't want to do it. So when you are the person writing the will and who's choosing who you name, you should really consider carefully when you name a trustee to ensure they understand what's involved and for how long, and that they'd be able to do it for that time. I worked with a client whose friend had passed away, and she'd created a trust for her disabled daughter and named the friend as the executor and trustee. But the problem, of course, was the daughter was in her 40s. My executor and trustee was 73. And this was for the daughter's lifetime because she was disabled. It was simply impossible that 73-year-old woman would be able to be that trustee for that whole time. So that required an immediate application to the court to have that appointment changed. So it's really important to think of that time frame of what that's going to be.
Yeah, it sounds like there's really a lot to consider here when you're thinking about these issues. So what would you say is the most important factor people should be considering?
I would say family dynamics. People often don't recognize or acknowledge if their family or beneficiaries has disputes or broken relationships, but you can always expect that those things are going to come to the surface during an estate, especially when people are emotional and distressed and there's money involved. So I think being really honest and recognizing what the dynamics are in your own family and making the best choice from there, because you don't want this to go into litigation. And of course, you don't want relationships to be broken down. Ideally, an independent professional executor is the best fit, someone who's not part of the emotion and is going to follow the document and the law. You may think that your brother Bob is a great choice because he's an accountant, but if your children are your beneficiaries and they hate their uncle Bob, he's still not going to be a good fit. I administered an estate for a very smart man who thought that the best choice of his executor would be his mistress, who, because of her accounting background, which many of us, I think all of us, can see as a horrible choice, but the criteria he used to think, is this the right person, was, of course, probably the least important aspect. So if you want your beneficiaries to be confident that the estate is going to be handled correctly, your best choice will be to have someone who is impartial to everybody and everybody is going to trust.
Yeah, wow. There's a lot to unpack there, especially when you're talking about about family dynamics. You know, it seems to me that it's also part of your legacy. And one of the questions I've often asked people is, what legacy do you want to leave your family after you've passed? There's going to be a lot of business to be taken care of. And this seems like it's all wrapped up and part and parcel of that. So if you leave your family with a nice, smooth executor type of relationship,